if you're recognizing, wow, I've been dealing with anxiety actually for quite some time, like from as long as I can remember, like grade school, high school or something like that, it's most likely from something that was going on, either that a message you were getting from your parents or family or school. And it's possible even at the time you kind of adjusted and then you just carried on the anxiety and then it kind of just, you know, got bigger.
Hey, welcome to the Overflow Podcast. This is a podcast on a mission to discover how you and I can live a life of abundance, full to overflow. For season 4, Philip and I are talking with a mental health therapist to ask questions about anxiety and depression, how we can spot the signs, identify the causes, and fight for an overflowing life. My name is Carl Lindsay, and this is episode 29. Hello, everyone. Today, we are back with another segment of our conversation with Jamie Stadola. We're talking with her for the whole season, but today's episode is actually part 2 of a mini-series within this season. This mini-series is on anxiety. We started it last week, and we looked at how we can identify anxiety. And so today, we're continuing that conversation to discuss some reasons on why we may be fighting this battle. So if you're joining us for the first time, we'd love for you to subscribe and stick around for the rest of the journey this season. We'll be looking at anxiety today and again next week, and then a similar 3-part series on depression. Our guest, Jamie, is a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Southern California, and she wants you to grow into your God-given potential. As a therapist, she supports her clients in their journeys toward healing emotionally, psychologically, as well as spiritually. And she knows that you've probably been told some lies and you've got some misbeliefs that have been keeping you back from living an overflowing life. And so she wants to help you leave those behind and live with the peace and joy that is found in Christ. So that's what we're doing this season with these conversations. Chasing the overflowing life, we're chasing personal growth in a spiritual direction. So again, I want to mention a few resources. I know I mentioned these last week, but I'll keep doing this so this season for anyone tuning in for the first time. And also because we believe this topic is so important for our society right now. Our church recently put together some materials to help you on this journey of fighting for your mental health. So they have a number of articles and 7 different information booklets available for download on a bunch of different topics. So check those out. The link is in the show notes, or you can go to choosetooverflow.com/NAD. Also, if you want to take a mental health assessment, you can do that at Mental Health America. The link is in the show notes again, or you can go to mhascreening.org. And if you don't have anyone to talk to and are considering harm yourself, please reach out to your National Suicide Prevention Line. We know we've got listeners all around the world, but in the US, the number is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or if you're in Australia, the number is 131114. That's 131114. Please look up your local phone number for other countries. So here's the next part of the conversation Philip and I had with Jamie on why we struggle with anxiety. Jamie, last week you talked about some pointers on how we can identify anxiety in our lives. And so today we want to talk about why it comes into our lives in the first place. What are some things that may open the door to anxiety taking over it? Like, you talked about earlier in previous episode, that battlefield in our mind. How does anxiety kind of come in and take over?
Oh, it could be many reasons.
I'm sure.
Which are important to consider.
Yeah.
It could be a learned coping pattern. Quite often, okay, this learned coping pattern is actually from childhood. So parents model for their children how to deal with stress, how to deal with anxiety.
Wow.
So sometimes the parent uses substances, sometimes they overeat, or they shop, or they isolate themselves.
And kids just pick it up by observation.
Yes. Wow. Yes. They don't even need words from the youngest of age where they can't even speak. They're already sucking that in. But other than that, there are genetic factors. Okay. There are also epigenetics, which is somewhat related to this idea of modeling. Yep. But basically whatever's around you, you're more likely to suck in or adapt to. Temperament, personality traits, family, childhood history, chronic stress, traumatic events. There could be medical conditions, substance use or medication use. These are all reasons why this happens in our life.
Okay. So in terms of if I was to be in a situation where I feel like I'm anxious, the best way to kind of work out why that has happened is to go through kind of list and just analyze my own life.
Yes, you could. You could even say to yourself, why, if you're recognizing, wow, I've been dealing with anxiety actually for quite some time, like from as long as I can remember, like grade school, high school or something like that, it's most likely from something that was going on, either that a message you were getting from your parents or family or school. And it's possible even at the time you kind of adjusted but you were struggling with anxiety. You adjusted and then you just carried on the anxiety and then it kind of just, got bigger. And now the person might be
out of control,
coming into adulthood or already adult, and they perhaps never knew. This is kind of where maybe we were talking the other episode, like how somebody might not know that they're struggling with anxiety until, the pace of other things in their life bring it about, or they're realizing that it's interfering with other parts of life.
One of our listeners came up with a question that I thought was interesting. It's just this on a basic level. What is the difference between anxiety and just kind of I'm worrying about something? And why do some people get anxiety, but it seems like others don't really get it, Jamie?
So going back to epigenetics and our environment, they could have likely had really good models in their life.
Okay.
And how to deal with it.
That makes sense.
It could be not necessarily how their family dealt with it, but whether their family talked about it or not, whether they even talked about feelings, right? I used to teach this class and show this video where it was a mom talking to a small child, a boy and a girl, separate. And they both had a rough day at school or something had happened. And in the one of the examples, the mom is with the daughter and the mom says to the daughter, tell me what happened. And she tells her and then she says, how did you feel? Or how do you feel? And then they carry on in their conversation. Now, then she sits down with the boy, the son, and something happened at school and he's telling about it. And then she says, and then what did you do? He didn't even talk about, she didn't even ask or acknowledge that there were any feelings.
Yeah.
So first of all, now we have this kind of gender approach because men and women have the same ability to have and manage and, live
deal with feelings,
with emotions and feelings. Yes. But it's also how the parent, approaches it and whether it's the parent or in the home environment, are they talking about how they're feeling and what they're experiencing? And, a kid might come home from school and say something about they had trouble with this kid and they're feeling worried about going to school. Well, if the parent just says, oh, you'll be fine, it's going to be okay, and just kind of invalidates that they had a rough day and this is a real thing, they're going to get a lot of impressions and a lot of beliefs about whether they should or should not, or how they share their thoughts or their experiences.
I do wonder about how I'm going to deal with this with my own kids. We have a little one, and I don't know if I should burden them with everything that I'm going through in life. But I do realize by just what you're saying, I'm like, wow, I do need to show them how I'm working through some of these issues, mm-hmm. not necessarily in the specifics, but mm-hmm. just in the general sense, like, oh, daddy's feeling very, very exhausted because of some things going on and I'm trying to work through them. And, you know, mm-hmm. I feel angry or I feel frustrated about this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I sometimes go about this approach where it's just like, hey, I need to be strong. I'm not even going to talk to Elena about this. I'm not going to tell her I'm feeling angry. I'm not going to tell her I'm feeling frustrated. I almost just feel as though it will show a negative side to just the issues of life that I'm going through that aren't helpful. But I realize, wow, even just the silence is detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And really, we do benefit, trying to maybe encourage you to share with your wife. We benefit just by talking.
Mm, yeah.
Because part of the problem is that people are up in their head and it's bouncing around and they literally need to get it out.
Yeah.
So even just saying it, and that is the beauty of having a partner and hopefully a healthy one, is that your troubles are diminished and your joys are multiplied just by sharing it, just by
that
partner being there.
Yeah. And that can happen with a good friend, a family member potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't as if you're single and you're listening to this that, you know, you're doomed.
Yes. No. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, there are special things that you share with your wife and you don't share with other spouse and you don't share it with others.
Yeah.
But most definitely, yes, you can benefit from having a close friend or close mentor, safe people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that.
So that idea of just generally worrying about things. Am I anxious if I'm just concerned about how my day's going to go? Is there a difference?
When do you cross the threshold? Okay, this is anxiety.
So is it interfering with your ability to engage in day-to-day activities and responsibilities? And are you experiencing the physical aspects of struggling with anxiety? Are you able to sleep? Are you able to eat normal? Mm. Are you able to carry on with your schedule normal? There are biological things that can affect us and that cause anxiety. Mm. Gut health is very important. Getting enough exercise. Definitely, a lot of my clients will say, if I don't exercise, my anxiety begins to take over more of me. Mm. Because, I mean, you definitely have a physical reaction. There is a physical component to anxiety. So getting there and getting it out and going for a brisk walk or a run or whatever it is that you like to do, that can help even in the moments.
Mm. Right.
And if someone is, for instance, dealing with binging or overeating or just addiction, are these kind of people's ways of self-medicating their anxiety or just?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're spot on.
Okay.
Nothing more to add. You're spot on. I mean, they're looking for something to soothe the anxiety or the pain or whatever is going on. And so they'll use a substance to do that.
Hmm.
And they'll often, one of the key other factors are if the person is doing something in excess.
Okay.
Mm.
Anything.
What's an example like in excess?
Substance use, overeating, shopping, gambling, pornography or using pornography at all, sex addictions, social media addictions, screen, overwatching screen, screen time.
Mm. Right.
So, yeah, this is one of the indicators that maybe I'm not dealing with something very well. And I'm perhaps a bit anxious about this, whatever it is.
Mm.
Wow.
That brings us kind of to another listener question. Someone wrote in and said, can depression and anxiety be caused or worsened from a lack of faith or trust in God? Mm. I've heard some churches preach this, and I'm not sure if telling folks this is helpful, he said.
Yeah, I don't think it's helpful either.
Right.
Because we're going back to that other discussion we had about stigma.
Hmm.
Because the church gives this idea that, well, you should be able to fix it. Like we've said, you know, before, you should be able to pray about it and it should go away. And there are definitely, I mean, we can benefit from that, but other things might need attention as well from, you know, God-fearing professionals. Mm-hmm. So I think that it is, it's definitely unfortunate that it would be contributed to a lack of trust in God, because the enemy is so coy with deceiving us. So perhaps one of the issues that the person is having is directly related to their faith or their salvation or their belief about what's going on in their life, that, you know, might be a struggle or a crisis or the thing that's causing the anxiety. And they might even be telling themselves, oh, God is causing this. Why is God causing this? And this is even in the last year, a lot of people have been asking this question a lot more. And God's not causing it. There are consequences to things. And then there's the enemy. And he will try to win you, well, steal you. Okay. Because winning sounds like a good thing, right? He'll try to steal you and destroy you. So he could, it's kind of like a Job idea, right? Like he could be coming after you because you're a follower and you're therefore a threat, especially, right? Because you could be like more of a little bit more lukewarm Christian and not be as much of a threat to him because you're just like maybe one person. But if you're branching out, or you're going to sharing something powerful for others, he does not like that. You are a major threat to him. So he will come after you, and it might, even more likely be completely unrelated, because then you're not likely to say like, oh, this ministry or this thing or having shared with this person is separate to this anxiety that I'm experiencing and something or other issues. It doesn't have to be anxiety, but other issues of life in which Satan would try to attack.
You know, this reminds me just how deeply we need help. And I guess I can say this. So in this question, there's this thought that, hey, depression, anxiety shouldn't be discussed in church because you've got God. I would say, yes, I absolutely have God. I'm so glad I have God. I'm going to go and take this to him. And I'm going to take it to a few other people to help me along the way as well. It's like this multifaceted healing approach to what I'm going through, where it's not just one individual. It's not saying that God isn't enough. And I think that's something I want to just speak into for a moment. I think when someone goes to a therapist, you're not admitting defeat or that your faith can't get you through or that God was insufficient. That needs to be really clearly stated, because if you assume, oh, because I'm a believer, everything is founded in Jesus, and if this doesn't get solved because I've prayed, then therefore my faith is not strong enough. And if I go to someone else, I'm admitting to God and my community that Jesus isn't enough.
And I think one of the things that contribute to what you're saying is their view of God. So plenty of people have a view of God that he is a tyrant, that he's out to get you, and that he's out to punish you.
And if that's you, listener, it's not true.
It's not true.
And the genie in the bottle philosophy, where it's like, hey, okay, if I bring it to God, I'll rub the lamp and I say the right word, then he's going to solve the problem and I'll get a few more wishes, you know, and he'll still keep going. It's like, wait a second. This is the thing. Prayer is not a thing you do, but it's a person you spend time with. It's a journey of reflection and intimacy and going somewhere with him. He's that's the problem. Like you said, we have these misnomers about who God is. That then give us these stigmas, I think.
And it's kind of like talking about prayer. If you go home every day and your wife says, hey, hon, how was your day? And you say, it was good. I had this meeting, that meeting. I had lunch and I'm here now. And if you, or whatever, something like very basic like this. If you say that every day to her, do you think your relationship will be growing?
Nope.
You think she'll be a little ticked too or sad?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
God is definitely sad if we go to him just like that, or if we go to him just as a vending machine. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to know about how we're feeling and what we're thinking and experiencing and the questions we have.
Yes.
And so when you seek him with all your heart and you have those questions, he will help you to find those answers.
Yes. That phrase probably is like, hey, seek me with everything about you and everything that's going on in your life. Seek me with mind, body, and spirit.
One of the measurements I attribute to that is, what is the most forefront on your mind? For some people, it might be, when can I get my next drink? And when am I going to go out next? For some people, it might be a different type of God, like a relationship. But God wants us to be balanced. So I'm not saying you can't think about your relationship or you can't with your significant other or other fun things or plan, whatever, or focus on planning something. But by and large, are your thoughts directed toward him and communing with him? Because then you know that the argument of the first commandment, having no other gods before you, stands true. If really he is most forefront on your mind. And I think that you would more likely be in line with finding peace if that be the case. And if you have a view of God that doesn't provoke fear and anxiety.
I love that. Well, next week we're going to be jumping into how we can beat anxiety. So let's look forward to that one.
I'm going to win this thing, and so will you, friends.
Hey, thanks so much for listening in today. We really hope that was helpful to you. If you have questions for Jamie, you can email her at jamie.wellbeing@gmail.com. Or if you're looking for a therapist to work with, she offers remote sessions wherever you may be. So you can see the link in the show notes. If you want to learn more, don't forget there's some free resources available on anxiety and other mental health issues at choosetooverflow.com/NAD. We're going to be continuing this mini-series next week, so don't miss that conversation when we talk about how we can beat anxiety. If you have questions or comments for us, please get in touch with us. You can find us on Instagram at choosetooverflow, or send us an email at hello@choosetooverflow.com. We also have reflection guides on the website for each episode to help you share what you learned from today's conversation with your friends and family. So that's choosetooverflow.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you choose to overflow this week. Let's chat again soon.